The following is a review of the financial reporting and analysis principles designed to address the learning outcome statements set forth by CFA Institute. This topic is also covered in Understanding Balance Sheets. Our topic review begins with an LOS asking us to describe the elements of the balance sheet: assets, liabilities, and equity. The balance sheet, also known as the Statement of Financial Position or Statement of Financial Condition, reports the firm's financial position at a point in time. The balance sheet consists of assets, liabilities, and equity. Assets are resources controlled as a result of past transactions that are expected to provide future economic benefits. Liabilities are obligations as a result of past events that are expected to require an outflow of economic resources. Equity is the owner's residual interest in the assets after deducting the liabilities. Equity is also referred to as stockholders' equity, shareholders' equity, or owner's equity. Analysts sometimes refer to equity as net assets. A financial statement item should be recognized if a future economic benefit from the item flowing to or from the firm is probable and the item's value or cost can be measured reliably. The next LOS is to describe uses and limitations of the balance sheet in financial analysis. The balance sheet can be used to assess a firm's liquidity, solvency, and ability to make distributions to shareholders. From the firm's perspective, liquidity is the ability to meet short-term obligations, and solvency is the ability to meet long-term obligations. The balance sheet elements, assets, liabilities, and equity, should not be interpreted as market value or intrinsic value. For most firms, the balance sheet consists of a mixture of values. For example, some assets are reported at historical cost, some are reported at amortized cost, and others may be reported at fair value. There are numerous valuation bases. Even if the balance sheet was reported at fair value, the value may have changed since the balance sheet date. Also, there are a number of assets and liabilities that do not appear on the balance sheet, but certainly have value. For example, the value of a firm's employees and reputation are not reported on the balance sheet. The next LOS asks us to describe alternative formats of balance sheet presentation. Both IFRS and U.S. GAAP require firms to separately report their current assets and non-current assets and current and non-current liabilities. The current non-current format is known as a classified balance sheet and is useful in evaluating liquidity. Under IFRS, firms can choose to use a liquidity-based format if the presentation is more relevant and reliable. Liquidity-based presentations, which are often used in the banking industry, present assets and liabilities in the order of liquidity. Next, we are asked to distinguish between current and non-current assets and current and non-current liabilities. Current assets include cash and other assets which will likely be converted into cash or used up within 1 year or one operating cycle, whichever is greater. The operating cycle is the time it takes to produce or purchase inventory, sell the product, and collect the cash. Current assets are usually presented in the order of their liquidity, with cash being most liquid. Current assets reveal information about the operating activities of the firm. Current liabilities are obligations that will be satisfied within 1 year or one operating cycle, whichever is greater. More specifically, a liability that meets any of the following criteria is considered current. Settlement is expected during the normal operating cycle. Settlement is expected within 1 year. Held primarily for trading purposes, or there is not an unconditional right to defer settlement for more than 1 year. Current assets minus current liabilities equals working capital. Not enough working capital may indicate liquidity problems. Too much working capital may be an indication of inefficient use of assets. Non-current assets do not meet the definition of current assets because they will not be converted into cash or used up within 1 year or operating cycle. Non-current assets provide information about the firm's investing activities, which form the foundation upon which the firm operates. Non-current liabilities do not meet the criteria of current liabilities. Non-current liabilities provide information about the firm's long-term financing activities. The next LOS requires us to describe different types of assets and liabilities and the measurement bases of each. Current assets include cash and other assets that will be converted into cash or used up within 1 year or operating cycle, whichever is greater. Cash equivalents are short-term, highly liquid investments that are readily convertible to cash and near enough to maturity that interest rate risk is insignificant. Examples of cash equivalents include treasury bills, commercial paper, and money market funds. Cash and equivalents are considered financial assets. Generally, financial assets are reported on the balance sheet at amortized cost or fair value. For cash equivalents, either measurement base should result in about the same value. Marketable securities are financial assets that are traded in a public market and whose value can be readily determined. Examples include treasury bills, notes, bonds, and equity securities. Details of the investment are disclosed in the financial footnotes. Measurement bases for marketable securities will be discussed later in this topic review. Accounts receivable, also known as trade receivables, are financial assets that represent amounts owed to the firm by customers for goods or services sold on credit. Accounts receivable are reported at net realizable value, which is based on estimated bad debt expense. Bad debt expense increases the allowance for doubtful accounts, a contra asset account. A contra account is used to reduce the value of its controlling account. Thus, gross receivables less the allowance for doubtful accounts is equal to accounts receivable at net realizable value, the amount the firm expects to collect. When receivables are written off, that is, removed from the balance sheet because they are uncollectible, both gross receivables and the allowance account are reduced. Firms are required to disclose significant concentrations of credit risk, including customer, geographic, and industry concentrations. Analyzing receivables relative to sales can reveal collection problems. The allowance for doubtful accounts should also be considered relative to the level and growth rate of sales. Firms can underestimate bad debt expense, thereby increasing reported earnings. Inventories are goods held for sale to customers or used in manufacture of goods to be sold. Manufacturing firms separately report inventories of raw materials, work in process, and finished goods. The costs included in inventory include purchase cost, conversion costs, and other costs necessary to bring the inventory to its present location and condition. Costs that are excluded from inventory include abnormal waste, including material, labor, and manufacturing overhead. Storage costs, unless they are necessary as a part of the production process, administrative overhead, and selling costs are also excluded. Standard costing and the retail method are used by some firms to measure inventory costs. Standard costing, often used by manufacturing firms, involves assigning predetermined amounts of materials, labor, and overhead to goods produced. Firms that use the retail method measure inventory at retail prices and then subtract gross profit in order to determine cost. Using different cost flow assumptions, firms assign inventory costs to the income statement as cost of goods sold. First in, first out, and average cost are permitted under both IFRS and U.S. GAAP. Last in, first out is permitted under U.S. GAAP, but is prohibited under IFRS. Under IFRS, inventories are reported at the lower of cost or net realizable value. Net realizable value is equal to the selling price less any completion costs and disposal or selling costs. Under U.S. GAAP, inventories are reported at the lower of cost or market. Market is usually equal to replacement cost. However, market cannot be greater than net realizable value or less than net realizable value less a normal profit margin. If net realizable value or market is less than the inventory's carrying value, the inventory is written down and a loss is recognized in the income statement. If there is a subsequent recovery in value, the inventory can be written back up under IFRS. No write-up is allowed under U.S. GAAP. The firm simply reports higher profit when the inventory is sold. Other current assets are amounts that may not be material if shown separately. Thus, the items are combined into a single amount. Examples include prepaid expenses and deferred tax assets. Prepaid expenses are operating costs that have been paid in advance. As the costs are actually incurred and expenses recognized in the income statement, and prepaid expenses, an asset, decrease. For example, if a firm makes an annual rent payment of $400,000 at the beginning of the year, the asset cash decreases and another asset, prepaid rent, increases by the amount of the payment. At the end of 3 months, one quarter of the prepaid rent has been used. At this point, the firm will recognize $100,000 of rent expense in its income statement and reduce the asset prepaid rent by $100,000. Deferred taxes are the result of temporary differences between financial reporting income and tax reporting income. Deferred tax assets are created when the amount of taxes payable exceeds the amount of income tax expense recognized in the income statement. This can occur when expenses or losses are recognized in the income statement before they are tax deductible, or when revenues or gains are taxable before they are recognized in the income statement. Eventually, the deferred tax asset will reverse when the expense is deducted for tax purposes or the revenue is recognized in the income statement. Deferred tax assets can also be created from unused tax losses. Next, we will look at current liabilities. Current liabilities are obligations that will be satisfied within 1 year or operating cycle, whichever is greater. Accounts payable, also known as trade payables, are amounts the firm owes to suppliers for goods or services purchased on credit. Analyzing payables relative to purchases can signal credit problems with suppliers. Notes payable are obligations in the form of promissory notes owed to creditors and lenders. Notes payable can also be reported as non-current liabilities if their maturities are greater than 1 year. The current portion of long-term debt is the principal portion of debt due within 1 year or operating cycle, whichever is greater. Accrued liabilities or accrued expenses are expenses that have been recognized in the income statement but are not yet contractually due. Accrued liabilities result from the accrual method of accounting under which expenses are recognized as incurred. For example, consider a firm that is required to make annual year-end interest payments of $100,000 on an outstanding bank loan. At the end of March, the firm would recognize one quarter, or $25,000, of the total interest expense in its income statement, and an accrued liability would be increased by the same amount, even though the liability is not actually due until the end of the year. Some firms include income tax payable as an accrued liability. Taxes payable are current taxes that have been recognized in the income statement but have not yet been paid. Other examples of accrued liabilities include interest payable, wages payable, and accrued warranty expense. Unearned revenue, also known as unearned income, deferred revenue, or deferred income, is cash collected in advance of providing goods and services. For example, a magazine publisher receives subscription payments in advance of delivery. When payment is received, the asset, cash, and a liability for unearned revenue increase by the same amount. As the magazines are delivered, the publisher recognizes revenue in the income statement and reduces the liability. When analyzing liquidity, keep in mind that unearned revenue does not require a future outflow of cash, like accounts payable. Also, unearned revenue may be an indication of future growth, as the revenue will ultimately be recognized in the income statement.